Welcome to the Kia Ora Catch Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, I was going to do something different, but I was thinking just before I started recording about continuous integration, CI server. And they really are a pretty big game changer in how I develop from day to day and how I actually ship code more specifically. It's something I've been using, maybe a couple years or so. It's a very, very important part of my deployment pipeline. Now, if anyone's not too sure about what continuous integration is, it's essentially a service that watches any code that you push to a branch in your version control system, and it will run any commands. Generally, this is testing commands. So you run your test suite or your unit tests or a combination of both or whatnot, and then it can take actions based on that if you want. So it's not always has to be action-based, but to get the whole continuous integration kind of thing happening, you want it to then do an action such as deploy that code if it all passes to production. So here's a good example. You push to a feature branch on GitHub, and it can integrate with your CI, and it'll run, and you can set it so you can't merge the branch unless it passes. It's another little nice thing that you get from it. Once it passes and you click merge, you can have it so when that merge happens, it sees it, it pulls in the essentially all your commits or your merge into master. It sees that's happening, goes great, okay, and it runs the test suite to make sure that master passes. And once master passes, it will then deploy your code into production. You might think, well, I can do this locally, that's fine. Even with a team, I can do this locally and just have everyone deploy. There's a couple issues with that, or I'd say a few issues with that. One is you don't want people pushing to or deploying to production at the same time. The other thing is there's a security concern. You're looking at having potential, 10 people with access to be able to deploy to production. Wouldn't it be better if you could just have that security in one single place? So that way, if you need to add anyone to the team, you don't need to add their SSH keys or whatnot to the server. You can just have it all in the one place. As long as they can push to a branch and then stuff gets merged into master, they can deploy code. They don't need to do any steps. They don't need to make sure the machine is configured to do deploys. Another thing is it enables anyone who's working on a project who may not have the knowledge on how to make deploys or do deploys, even do them safely. It depends on how your deployment structure is. But to be able to do a successful deploy, it might be a bit difficult for your particular application or website. So having them just have to do their normal thing of pushing their code up to, if you're a bit of a cowboy and pushing to master, or if pushing up to a feature branch, and once it gets merged in, it'll automatically deploy, which is fantastic. I mean, it keeps things out of the way, and it does add another automation step, which I do recommend. I've mentioned in previous episodes about automating various parts of your workflow. There are some parts that you do want to keep manual, though. That's a pretty big one that I think is really important to note. But these tools enable you to essentially have a better quality assurance as well. It's very easy for someone just to commit some code and then, boom, I'll deploy it and not run my tests, whereas this it kind of forces it, which is really, really handy to have. So how do I get started, or how do I get into this? I'm a pretty big fan of CodeShip. Now, it is paid, but it's a very, very simple system to set up to do your continuous integration. I don't think I've found a more simpler system to get up and running in a very, very short amount of time. There's hardly any configuration because they've kind of got like these boilerplate setups. It's really, really nice. So they've kind of got everything covered to be a very simple, painless experience to be able to boost your code quality in terms of the quality assurance part of things, as well as just getting you up and running quickly. So you're going to start to enjoy the product because you're not really having to fight it. There are a ton of others. I'm not going to really name them all because there's a huge list of them, and they're all very, very good. There are some that might not suit your needs and things like that. A couple other ones, you got like Travis CI, which is pretty massive. A new one, DocBit, which is pretty cool. I've been playing around with that Zach Orman did a blog post about. I don't know if he built it or someone else did, but yeah, I went and checked it out. It's quite nice. It's really good if you're looking specifically at the moment to do any Heroku deploys. It's got that integration there. It doesn't have custom stuff, so like Capistrano or anything like that. But yeah, another interesting player in the field. But there's so many of them, and generally they all tie into your version control system. Now they are, or they can be, priced a little high at times for what you think that you're getting. Although the costs are definitely worth it. You know, I wouldn't even batter an eyelid at the costs, but you can get some of them as cheap as like $20 a month, I think. So, you know, it's nothing really in terms of getting that quality assurance and then having everything just happen for you. One of the really good examples is you might be out and someone's pushed up to a branch, a feature branch. This is a pretty important fix. You can actually merge that branch, that pull request, from your phone, and it'll go into master, and as long as a build pass, boom, that code's going to be out in production and fixed. So that's another good thing. You don't have to actually be at your computer to then influence production deploys, which is really handy. The one thing it doesn't do is a manual deploy, and sometimes you might need to do that. But generally, if you're having to do manual deploys, there's obviously another issue there, and it's generally an edge case, so that's kind of covered off. One of the other things to note is that while they do all these quality assurance, you still do have to do some setup yourself to get your tests working, how you want it to work, all those kind of things. You can get some differences in the CI run as compared to locally. Say if you get some JavaScript tests, we've had some of these issues where things are slightly different because you might have software that's running on these services that are not the same, so you end up might not get quite the outcome that you need. But if you want to just get your fingers and your hands wet, get your feet in there and see what it's like, you can actually get access to a free CI through GitLab. So if anyone doesn't know what GitLab is, it's essentially a free version, kind of a bit like Bitbucket, of GitHub, essentially. It's modeled quite a lot off GitHub, but with its own little take on things. You can either have that on your own server, or you can actually just use their hosted service, and it's all free. You can pay for some enterprise stuff, which gets you a little bit extra features, and that enterprise side of things does kind of take on GitHub Enterprise, but it's certainly a lot more affordable. Yeah, really great service, but they actually have a CI server itself, and again, you can run this, I believe, still you can run this on your own server as well, but you can use their hosted service, which gives you instant access to GitLab CI. Makes it very easy just to basically switch it on and have it do its thing with your GitLab repository. So worth checking out that one if you want to get your hands wet, even if you just create a new remote. You just call GitLab or something for your project, push it up to there, and then, yeah, just see how the CI goes with there. Then you might want to move on to something else, or you want to stay with them. Like, there's nothing wrong with that service. It's fantastic. But yeah, just thought I'd chuck that one in there because it's quite handy if you want to really get started. A lot of them do have trial periods, but you want to get a really good full experience, you might want to try it out for a few months. This is a good way to get into it through GitLab. So I've gone on about what's so good about it. What's the bad side of things? Well, there's a little bit extra setup. You need to be able to set up deploy keys and things like that in, say, for GitHub as an example, because I'm pretty sure most people can be using GitHub. There's a few little quirks there, making sure things are set up right on the server so you can actually deploy from CI. There's a bunch of little quirky things here and there, but once you've got that set up and you kind of forget about it and you just push and merge and it just goes into production, it's great. It's a really, really, I'd have to say, a must-have in your workflow. Some people might go, no, I don't need that, but in reality, it really is a safeguard as well as an improvement on your workflow, and it makes everything kind of just stack up nicely. So just to reiterate my points that earlier, it automates things. So it takes one less manual step out of your process, out of your workflow. So if you're onboarding any new team members, it's very simple. They just need to know how to push to a branch or to master if you do that. Very, very simple there. So there's no actual extra learning about how to deploy the application if there's any other additional steps that have to happen before actually hitting a button to say deploy. The other one is security. You know, we don't have to have everyone, your team, being able to get into production on the production server, because generally you don't want to do that. You want people away from production as much as possible, even though, you know, you should trust your employees or your contractors or anything like that. But generally, hands-off production, if you can, just let, you know, automated systems handle it. It's less likely to have an error or any kind of issues arise from that. That's essentially it. I've been using CI for quite some time now. Really, really love it. I couldn't imagine life without it in my workflows. So, yeah, get on there, give it a go, and see what you think. I'd love to know what you think about it, if you've tried it out, what you're actually using. Send some feedback through. You can send a tweet through to Coder Catchup on Twitter. You can send an email through to codercatchup@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on codercatchup.com for this episode. Well, that's it. Hope you enjoyed it. If you do have any spare time, please don't forget to rate and review on iTunes, and make sure you subscribe and tell your friends, and we'll catch the next episode.